We go to paradise to get laid and left at the altar tonight on the Love at First Flight finale at AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Ooh, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high.
Hula dancing, everyone.
In honor of Hawaii.
We're going to Hawaii tonight. Hi, Hawaii. You want to get laid in Hawaii? Because I do. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Jen.
And I'm Zach.
And we're honoring Stacy, our other co-host, who is not here tonight because she is sick, but we are going.
She's getting laid.
She is getting laid. Tonight, we are wrapping up the Love at First Flight first season on Lifetime here at AfterBuzz TV. This is the finale. We've got Stephanie of Stephanie and Ryan. Oh my God. Calling in. We're going to talk to her about all of the things. We feel like we made some fairly accurate predictions on this season.
We, though, is really just Zach.
It's just Lauren and Zach. And hello,
Zach.
I do not have to take my tequila shot, everyone.
So you didn't.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Yeah, Kale, thank you for this bottle of tequila that now sits undrunken because Lauren.
Well, I mean, we can still drink it.
If you want,
Lauren
can
still chug it.
I just don't have to take four shots because the bet was all season that
now you can take five.
I will take four shots if Kale and Jenna end up together. So you guys, we left Seattle and we went to Hawaii for the couples to get engaged. Well, they had to like wrap things up in this romantic like place that's supposed to make you feel like you're in a, you know, a possible honeymoon destination. Mm-hmm. It's like when The Bachelor goes to like some tropical locale and they all go to the honeymoon or the fantasy suite. And that's where we were now. And so everyone goes and they sort of wrap up their feelings together. They do all get challenges, and we'll quickly go through them. Mike and Alma get they rappel down the side of the waterfall challenge.
Yes, Mike gets hurt. They help each other. It's great.
Alma overreacts, shocker. And then that happens. Jenna and Kale go canoe paddling, and they do a great job. And we see that they are like really just friends. Like this
boring.
Is really
right. Yeah. That was a boring challenge.
It was. Yes. They all got the boring. They always got the boring challenges. But they were friends, and they worked together, and they paddled together. And you see, at least they're like don't want to kill each other.
Yes. Yeah. Thank God. Finally.
Stressful.
I would have thrown her overboard.
Yeah. Totally. Oh, yeah. We will get to Stephanie and Ryan. Steph and Michael. They do this like survival challenge thing, and they work together really well also, and sort of summarize their feelings about like he kind of picks up where she feels weak, and she really likes seeing the side of him, and we see them kind of blossoming into something too, right?
Yes,
but it didn't go anywhere.
Well, it did.
Well, we'll get there.
I think it did. We'll get there.
I have an update from this morning.
Oh
you
the fuck.
I feel like
door.
I think your predictions come from insider trading.
Come on. What's that guy's name that did all the insider training? I can't think of his name.
The Ponzi scheme?
Yeah, the Ponzi scheme guy. That's who you are.
But
you guys, Stephanie and Ryan, and we're going to get Stephanie on the horn in a second. They went cageless shark diving. They get all of the good freaking challenges. And they were like really trying to let go of the negativity of Vegas. And Stephanie felt like she could do it. And Ryan was just like really in his head about it.
Like stuck. Which I think is like I said earlier, I was like, that sucks that it's going to take one thing to really throw everything for a loop when it seemed like there was all of the success happening for them and like they really found a connection. But then one thing was his issue.
And we also have to keep in mind, guys, like this situation that got him stuck in his head had to do with a challenge that was set up by the show.
Right.
So you also have to keep that in mind. He may have been uncomfortable with what had transpired, and I think they address that, but this was all something that was sort of like we said set up
right
by the challenge in the show, so we were sort of like anyway. Okay, well, you know what we're gonna do, because we just talked about all the couples where they were. This they all seemed like they were okay in Hawaii for the most part. And we're gonna get Stephanie on the phone and we are going to address then they all left Hawaii.
Yeah.
separately. They were all uncomfortable traveling separately because they'd been used to traveling separately. And then they all meet in this airplane hangar in LA for the first time after a couple days of not seeing each other. And this is where we're at right now. And wackiness ensues. Stephanie, are you on the line? Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. Okay, so where are you calling from?
So I'm on Long Island. I'm actually in Northport right now.
Give us your address. Just kidding. Don't do that.
And my phone number. I'll give it to you.
Okay. So we watched the couples at the end of this episode and you guys are all meeting again after a couple of days. And you seem very legitimately excited to see Ryan. And I feel his hesitancy from a mile away. He's still stuck in his head about Vegas. And you're talking him into it. How did you feel on that moment at the altar where you're like, get out of your head. Tell me what's going on. Like, what do you think the issue was?
I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like it came out of nowhere. I feel like it was a tactic for him to self-sabotage it. And for me, I mean, that's never really been an issue. That was the first time he ever addressed it. So it was shocking to me.
Okay, so like, seriously, he brought up the ex-boyfriend as his issue versus the Vegas thing. It was like almost like, okay, Vegas was this issue this whole time, but I have this last-minute issue that I'm really going to drive home.
We, as the audience, heard nothing about that, so we were a little confused. Yeah. What was that issue? Explain a little bit the ex-boyfriend scenario, if you can.
I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, we all have our exes, right, that we don't really want to talk about. And off-camera, we had one conversation where he had told me that he didn't want to talk about his ex because she made him move out of his apartment because she was stalking him.
Oh.
And that's how it came up. And I told him, listen, I don't even want to like put my energy into my ex because it is really dangerous, you know, in a way. And I told him, I was like, well, I had to move out of my apartment before filming because my ex was coming to my apartment unannounced. And that was that. So when he brought it up at the altar, it was really confusing to me because it felt like he was looking for an escape.
Right. Okay, yeah. I could see that because he was uncomfortable about Vegas and you knew and we knew he was uncomfortable about Vegas. Do you think his uncomfortability about the situation in Vegas was like an accurate assessment of the situation or do you feel like he was overreacting or what is your take on it?
Let me just set the record straight, okay? Obviously, cameras are on us all the time, but there was a 30-minute period between when we filmed in the morning from when we filmed at night. And he specifically said to me, before we went to Magic Mike at night, he goes, you know, I thought the situation was going to be different, and I just don't see marriage.
Oh.
So I was like, all right, well, then I'm going to enjoy Magic Mike.
Okay, and that didn't, and Stephanie, hold on, that didn't make you, because you seemed really happy and like already, you know, just like not, I mean, if somebody that I like told me, like, we're in this sort of dating relationship, we're doing things together and we're kind of falling for each other, that they don't see a future with me, like, I think feel like that would really kind of bum me out. But you, I like that you were like strong about it and just went, okay, I'm going to go have fun. But like, how did you do that? Because I would have been pissed.
Well, also, we saw him say at some point that he was kind of cool with the whole lap dance thing. And then he goes, like, I guess in the confessional or whatever and says like, fine, one, fine, two. But now like four lap dances later, which by the way, you could not control. It's not like you summon them over there with your dollar bills. I would assume it was set up and there was cameras on you and they knew to go to you. And you were just participating because I'm just going to go out on a limb, and I think we all kind of agree on our panel here that, like, there was some movie magic. Like, you are on a TV show, so you probably were reacting, like, assuming that's what you're supposed to do, maybe?
Totally.
But, like, how does he say he's fine with the lap dances, but he's not fine with marriage? Like, we never even heard that part.
Right. I feel like that's where, like the communication comes into, like, fruition, because he never even told me that he was uncomfortable with me even getting the lap dances, because you saw how he was in like the morning, right?
Right, right.
So, and my whole joke is that the only thing I'm mad about is the fact that he like ran out of dollar bills, because like if he had more dollar bills, then like maybe he would have been like okay with the lap dances, you know? Yeah. And for me, I don't know. The entire way going to Magic Mike, he was like he was afraid that they were going to pull him on stage. And that's what we were talking about.
Okay.
It was never addressed prior to that, that, you know, he was going to, like, worried that they were going to give me lap dances. But also, you have to understand, like, it hurt me, yes, of course. But at the same time, you got to not fake it until you make it. I'm not saying that, but it was like, okay, maybe he was upset because of the challenge in the morning. He'll get over it, you know. Put a smile on and just keep going. Yeah, you know,
You're taking it with a grain of salt. You're on a show. You've got to do some things. You've got to get some stuff done. And yeah, at the same time, you're just like, okay, fine. He could just be, I'm still getting to know this guy. He could just be like getting, you know, feeling a little weird or a little scared or something. So you just go into the night. You go into the night thinking like, whatever, this is going to be fine. And then it spirals into...
Yeah.
A bigger issue. Yeah. Did you actually after that whole thing went down in Vegas, did you see him coming back around and actually having a relationship by the end of it? Or were you just, he seemed pretty checked out.
No, 100% I saw him coming around because, it's so annoying, but he would act differently towards me off camera. And then he would kind of play this like, no, like I didn't believe that what you did was right. But yet he would be completely different. So it was hard for me to like navigate. And you see, like, if you see the diner scene where we're talking and I'm so uncomfortable because I feel like I have to walk on eggshells because I can't really talk about anything because this guy has already threatened to leave twice.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You're sort of just like trying to detect it. When is he really telling me how he's really feeling or not? And we all know watching the show, like we're not seeing everything.
Right.
And there's obviously a relationship that's transpiring and things that we're not seeing. Even when we're watching some of the challenges, it's obvious we're missing things because we only have a certain amount of time. So we all have to take that into account. And I think viewers do. I mean, I remember getting to the end of this episode at the altar and feeling very confused by what was going on
like
between
we missed
you guys.
A lot of steps, it felt like. And I think we felt a little left out of the dynamic, which is a weird thing to feel. I have a question for you, actually, about, you said that he was almost going to leave twice, let's just say. Do you have to stay on the show? Can you talk about that, or is that, like, not okay?
I mean... No, I feel like he could have left. Yeah, of course.
I feel like he totally could have left if he wanted.
I didn't know if it was like The Bachelor where like you can sort of check out and like see yourself home, or if it's like you have the 30 days, just make do. Because like kind of we watched Jenna and Cam, we're like, why are they still around?
Oh,
like,
my God.
You know, like not you guys, but like that one really is confusing to me. Like they hated each other. Why are they still going through this?
Do you think the fact that you guys rushed into things so quickly at the beginning that kind of scared him off to the point where he did kind of fall into this self-sabotage?
I don't know. I feel like for me, we were in such an expedited time frame that I know it seems like, oh my God, they slept together. Oh my God. You know, it's like a weird, weird situation, but I feel like it was right for the experiment or, you know, what we were going through. And at the end we crashed and burned, right? But I feel like if it might have been a different person, that maybe it would have worked. I don't feel like there's anything wrong with, you know, having that instant connection with somebody and going forward and just being organically like attracted to them and moving forward. But I feel like it crashed and burned because ultimately we are kind of cut from a different cloth.
And I feel like this is all making a little more sense now, obviously hearing a little more insight and your side of the story, because I do feel like Ryan was the one that at the end of the episode, you said, this is not the Ryan show. I feel like I don't get to talk. I don't get to explain. And I do feel like we saw more of his side. And so this is making sense. If he had acted differently with you off camera and he had said he was leaving a couple of times, these actions, like the result and the action in Vegas, and then this weird ex-boyfriend bringing up thing at the altar do feel like self... That makes sense. That feels like self-sabotage to me. Like, he just decided this isn't working for him, and these were his ways out, and you seemed obviously very confused by it, as were we. So when he's at the altar with you, he says the thing about the ex-boyfriend, and you're clearly uncomfortable calling him because you're like, I don't really want to call my ex-boyfriend.
Also, how did he just magically have a phone?
And his number.
TV magic, right? But yeah. Producers give us the phone, whatever.
Okay, and so then how did that all work out? Like, your ex-boyfriend then said these things that didn't match this said story that we didn't hear but is alluding to. Explain a little to us what that was about, if you can.
I mean, yeah. So, I mean, with my ex, I don't really want to put, like, the energy into that because it was a toxic relationship. But when I was at the altar and Ryan pulled this out of his booty, out of nowhere, I literally, at that point, I was like, oh my God, there's always something with him. And then, you know, I was like, well, I don't have a phone, you know, and then, you know, with TV, magically there's a phone, right? And then I'm like, well, I don't have the number. And then all of a sudden there's my phone. And I'm like, ah! And then it just happened where I was like, you know what? I'm so done with these excuses. I'm done with, like, you know, him thinking I'm not wife material because I got lap dances at a show. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call this person. Maybe I shouldn't have, right? I shouldn't have opened up Pandora's box because you should never open up Pandora's box with somebody who's been stalking you. But at that time, I was just so over it. And
obviously trying to put it to bed.
Exactly. I was trying to prove a point.
But you also didn't really have a choice because your options would have been, you say no, he would have been like, well, this is a deal breaker.
I'm leaving.
Or you did. I'm leaving.
Or you called him. And then
bye, run my groom. Like, bye.
It was like the same result regardless of what you did. So, you know, you ended up actually calling this guy, though. And to the audience, it sort of sounded like a pre-recorded call. Like, it didn't sound like a real person. Like, maybe like someone from production. It was, like, so bizarre.
It was a little weird sounding, I will say.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest with you, obviously, I would have to have called my ex again to get permission for his voice. True. So, I learned my lesson. I'm not opening up Pandora's box. I'm not calling him to get his voice. So it wasn't necessarily his voice, but it was exact. I mean, it's exactly what happened. And it was me reacting to.
Understood. So Ryan leaves, he storms out and you're so confused. And then you're asking producers in your interview, like, where is he? And they're like, he's gone. He doesn't want to talk to you. Did you get a chance to speak with him after at all?
No. And, you know, during this entire filming process, my aunt was, like, in the hospital and she got the flu and she was in a coma.
Oh, God.
And I didn't know this, but she had passed away 3 days prior to us filming the finale.
Oh, no.
And when I got my phone, so Ryan, he was the runaway groom. He, like, bolted into, like, another bathroom store or wherever he went. And I literally was like, is this, like, for real? I was like, is this life? Is this, like, for real? And then I finally got my phone back and I found out that my aunt had passed away. And I even tried to contact him and be like, hey, like, just let's put everything aside. Obviously, we're done with the show. Just please be there for me. Because, you know, essentially he's, like, my best friend for 30 days. Like, he's the closest person that I was with.
Sure.
And no, I didn't. I haven't heard from him. Nothing.
So. Wow. That feels a little shocking, huh?
No. Yeah. Not given how he acted at the end. I feel like he would just, like, close doors. And it was, like, it sort of seems like he was emotionally unavailable because of the fact that he reacted certain way. Like, he was very quick to dismiss and run away. And he sort of described a lot of the things in a very mature manner. But again, like, let's all remember he is 26.
I called it.
Yes, you did. You did.
But why would they set you up with somebody, like, younger?
I mean, I feel like, you know, you don't ever really know somebody until you go through situations like this. And that's why, like, this show is awesome because you really need to traveling with somebody really brings out different characteristics of them. And you know, I found out before I married him, and that's amazing. And I'm not saying he's a bad person, because he's a great person, but...
It does. Yeah. This process really did truly expedite the process in its own ways for every single couple. And that is understood for sure. And we can see how it got you guys to a certain point quicker. But I will say, and we talk about dating and relationships on the show, Jen and I have a podcast where we talk about dating and relationships as well. And we constantly say it's great to feel an instant connection, but we do really feel like if you try consciously to take it a little slower, you will ignore the red flags less, so that when you start to fall in love with someone, you're falling in love with the good and the bad and the nice and the mean and the everything.
Like, so you've experienced more of their facets of their personality.
Right. And I feel like that...
You did it on an expedited track. Now, do you think, though, that you would have been ready to get married? Like, do you think anyone after 30 days is actually ready to get married? We know Mike and Alma did, but... Was that even... What is that? Is it real?
Yeah. Would you even have married him if he wanted to on the spot?
To be honest with you, probably not, because he showed me a lot of, you know, like even when my mom said, what are you going to do when things get tough? I mean, we're on vacation, essentially, and he's locking himself in a bathroom. He's threatening to leave.
True.
Personally, probably not, to be honest with you. But... I can definitely relate to people who do meet, and it's like there is this instant connection. But what's so amazing is that, like, there's no work involved, right? So you're getting this person 100%. You're with them. There's no phones involved. Like, we don't have phones at all. There's no distraction, you know, from getting to know this person, and you're just with this person. And I think it is. It is. You can do that, of course. Yeah, and Alma and Mike did. I think that's amazing. I definitely think it's possible, 100%.
Yeah, like you said, had it been a different person, the outcome could have been different, clearly, because it did really seem like you... I mean, it seemed like he was ready, but that could have just been the Ryan he was presenting to us and to you. But it really did truthfully feel like you were ready for this. And I think you gave... It felt like you were really giving him you. You know, yeah. And then he did what he did. But that was, I mean, I just assumed that you guys had, like, spoken since, or was it?
How long ago was this?
So we filmed right before Halloween, and then we got back 2 days before Thanksgiving.
Oh, so it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've moved on? Like, do you feel okay about it, or is it still been kind of hard for you?
No, I feel fine. I mean, watching it, it's like, you know, you still get those, like, you know, little feelings, right? Because it was real for me. But at the same time, I'm like, red flag, red flag, red flag. I mean, even for me, too, I'm like, how obnoxious was I, like, while I was doing foot golf? I mean, that was pretty obnoxious. But at the same time.
Yeah, that's what they were showing of you. Wait, Zach, what did you just ask her?
I said, what if he booty texts you tonight? You're not going to respond at all?
Hell no. No. Step one, don't pick up the phone. Two.
Yes, Dua Lipa. I like that. The rules.
I like it too. So, okay, so we obviously know you're not with Ryan, but are you seeing anyone else?
Kale.
No, I mean, I haven't found anybody. It's, you know, it's hard. It's like, I'm in this situation, right? First of all, I technically can't date, so I haven't. So I've just been working on myself and, like, loving myself and, like, spending time with family. So, no, nobody's serious.
That's, I feel like, the ultimate goal here is, like, loving yourself, being ready to receive the love from somebody else. And this process could have opened that door up for you. It was an expedited process. It could have opened the door up for anybody. It happened to not work in the end for you with Ryan, but could be working for you now, because clearly you've opened the door, you've learned some things, and you're ready to now receive somebody else in your life.
Could you go on season two? Like, is that a possibility?
I mean... I don't know, but I would.
Oh. You totally would. I feel like you totally would. And that
you were very open to the process. And I think maybe that also helped you and Ryan, like, get close quickly, because you were both very positive. You were both like, wow, okay, this person doesn't suck. And you really dove right in and, you enjoyed it. And that's great. And so you did have fun.
You happen to have chemistry, too. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no, he we was definitely cute. Chemistry.
Yeah. It's not why. Okay, yeah. So really quick before we let you go, do you have anything that you were any like thing you're doing that you want to like talk about that where everyone can find you or watch you? Is there anything you want to talk about or like set straight before we go? Because there was a lot of discrepancies here.
I think as far as what I'm doing next, I can't really tell you, but you know, I just for the I appreciate everyone's reaching out to me. They're so sweet. They, you know, they're like, Stephanie, like you can do better. Ryan is such a great person. I want everyone to know that. He's awesome. You know, even though I haven't spoke to him, literally, he really is a great, great, great person. I wish he didn't run so I could have stood up for myself more. But at the same time, it's water under the bridge and you gotta move on and you gotta keep flowing. And I don't hate him. I don't think he's a bad person. And I am just so happy that I experienced this because, I mean, who gets to go on a 30-day vacation to meet the love of their life and
hell yeah,
do this? I mean, this is insane. Like, what?
Are they going to do an international one? I mean, that sounds a lot of fun.
It sounds like there's something in the works. Okay, well, remind everyone where they can find you on social media so they can follow your adventures and check in on you and if you're finding any love.
Yeah. So at Stephanie with a PH dot Verek, VERECKE. My last name is so confusing, but if you stick to that, you're golden.
Great. Thank you so much, Stephanie. We really enjoyed talking with you. You set a lot of things straight because we were a little confused.
Yes. I'm glad to hear you're doing good and yes. We want you to find love. So we're rooting for you.
Yes. Thank you so much. Yay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was awesome. You guys, that explained so much.
I know. I went in thinking one thing and now we've got the truth.
I mean.
What did you think?
That she was totally crazy? Thought like legit he had like all these worries about her and then she talked about an ex-boyfriend and he was like done and it looked like there was some sort of lie in her story or a piece missing. And then I was like, oh my God, this poor guy. I honestly am now on her team.
Like, yeah. I know. Yeah, it's actually flipped the script for me a lot because I was like, oh my God, he caught her in crazy. And like to see that the ex-boyfriend totally contradicted her story.
Which was not his voice, but everything he said.
Right. And so obviously there's more to every story and people are going to paint themselves a certain way. And they're like, you know, people want to tell their truth. So maybe the ex-boyfriend's truth was whatever his was, but
yeah,
he's not going to say it. And I do stalk you, you know, like that's just not going to be something he says. So,
but you know what he should do, you guys, he needs to tune into this podcast because he needs some real advice.
Yeah.
If any of our listeners or viewers want to have fun, learn or grow in all areas of their life, we've got a podcast for you. It's called Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. And it's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life, from health and wellness to career and relationships. Kale, you should listen to this. Finances and more. Let our Maria be the big sister that you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to comment and rate. And when you do, let Maria know that it was us that sent you there. The love at First Flight After Show. Because we love her. And you will too. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You guys, like Mike and Alma...
I said my money was on this couple.
I also did too. I said Stephanie and Ryan. They are no, not Stephanie and Ryan. I said they were going to crash and burn, which was obviously Jenna and Kale. We all thank God I don't have to take the shots.
No, but I like that they ended as friends on a positive note.
And but I do think that
I mean that was fake.
Come
on, they did that for TV. You know, none of them have spoken to each other. Since
I feel like they might really be
Kale
friends.
And Jenna.
Yes. guess I feel
listen,
like
that. Listen, 30 days of Stockholm Syndrome, you might talk to somebody after that.
Oh, my God. But
I'm not saying she's a bad person. I'm just saying you get used to somebody. Yeah,
Michael and Stephanie, though, I feel like they ended up trying to be in a relationship together. And I do feel like there was a little chemistry there. Would you like to set the record straight on that one, Zach?
Yes, yes. They did an Instagram Live, which I find so interesting that they are doing that because they're not together, but they have like a joint Instagram account.
Well, they have the Stephanie and Michael,
Yeah, so they have the Stephanie and Michael show. And so on it, they addressed whether or not they're still together. And I quote from Stephanie, "We are not together. We are friends." Hashtag called it. "And we are continuing to build our friendship and get to know each other."
Okay, but that still seems a little like I'm super religious, so I'm not going to make sex with you, but maybe they like each other?
No.
You feel like
They've been hanging out since, and if this happened before Thanksgiving, then
that's true. Something would have happened.
You should have started dating by now.
Okay, so I was wrong about them, all right? Yeah. But I also did call Mike and Alma. I said I felt like there was a chemistry there, and I felt like that they were like a runner-up for me, and they got married. Do we really think that was real?
God, no. Because their families weren't there. They flew their families in for a fucking one episode. Jennifer Golden. I'm sorry. I'm very passionate about their relationship.
I swear all the time, and I can't believe I just called you out for that. But no, I honestly didn't understand why Stephanie and Michael's family was there, but Mike and Alma's family wasn't. I feel like really liked each other, but then they got married. We saw in the family
episode that, for whatever reason, his family just did not want to appear on the show.
Oh,
and
true.
Then her family, her mom was sick, so she couldn't fly.
True.
So that made sense.
But I can't imagine they want to get married without them.
I believe they like each other. I believe that they tried a relationship. I don't know if they are currently together, but I don't know.
They are.
They are?
They are.
Really? How'd you find that out?
Oh, because she posted the Instagram.
It was very confusing, though, what she said. It said that she is upset that they didn't get their photos but that she thanks him for going through all this with her. But it sounded almost like, thank you, my friend Mike.
No,
for going
but then she said, I'm your little chihuahua or whatever she said.
I thought she was telling her, audience, love your little chihuahua. Maybe her fans call her that.
No, I think that's what he calls her.
That seems like a name that makes sense.
Zach, before we go, why are they together?
Yeah, for that same reason.
Oh, he interpreted it. The way you interpret social media, and you guys, we had a lot of fun talking about this show, the ins and outs, and it was so nice to interview all of the stars of the show, because we all know we're going into this reality TV, but we know there's so many things we don't see, so it was nice to get this insight behind the scenes, real live take on what's going on, because we can kind of guess. We're reality TV connoisseurs over here, so we can kind of guess what's
super
going
fans.
On, but it was super very fans. Nice to get the real inside knowledge and view that we try to bring to you guys here at this after show, because we're really diving in deep. We're trying to get the realness of everything. You know what I mean? TV is TV.
Behind the scenes, because you know what? There were a lot of things we didn't know, and we got them in to tell us the truth. We even got this nifty bottle of tequila that Lauren doesn't have to drink today. But you guys, know she will be drinking.
So you guys
have to, but that doesn't mean she can't stop.
Right. So thank you to Kale for this tequila.
Thank you, Kale. And thank you. Gosh, we interviewed Stephanie and Kale and Michael. And thank you all for coming in.
Yeah.
And thank you guys for tuning in and listening and watching. And Mike-a-ma for the win, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Mike-a-ma. Yeah. And good job with your predictions.
Man,
I mean, you really are just the king of predictions. And remind everyone where everyone can find you.
You guys can find me at Just Plain Zach, all the places.
And you guys can find me at Jennifer Golden on all the places as well.
And you can find me at Lauren Leonelli on all the places too. And that was so much fun. Thank you guys for listening, tuning in, and watching here at AfterBuzz TV for our Love at First Flight after show on Lifetime. We had a great time. And cheers to Mike and Alma.
Yeah, love. Yay. Happened at First Flight.
Woo!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.